Hello and welcome to Radio Linguistica, DGT's knowledge sharing radio broadcast, exploring themes and topics that are relevant to our everyday work. So I have the great pleasure of meeting today Mechthild Wasdorfer, who's the Deputy Director General of DG Ener, who's the Directorate General in charge of energy in the European Commission. So Mechthild, thank you very much for finding a bit of time in your very tight schedule to talk to us in DGT. So Mechthild, we have a big package of Ener documents that are about to arrive in DGT for translation. It's a series of reports on the state of the energy union. So very soon, a number of DGT translators will start working on parts of this package, translating it or revising it. So we're very happy to have the opportunity to talk to an insider like you about the current energy crisis, the EU's response to the crisis, and how the energy union and these reports fit into EU's overall action in the field of energy and climate. So I'll start with the energy crisis, which has been making the headlines for weeks and months now. Energy prices have rocketed. The price of gas is 10 times higher than before COVID. It's a major concern for all of us. So could you explain to us what are the causes of this crisis? I know that there is the war against Ukraine and climate change as causes. Could you tell us more about that?
So thank you, first of all, Caroline. It's a pleasure to do that podcast. And as you say, there is a lot to be said about energy policy right now, and it's my pleasure to contribute to that. So we are indeed in an energy crisis, and I would say even broader than energy. It's an economic crisis because it impacts also the economy more broadly, and not only the vulnerable consumers or the poor ones, but also all consumers, including then also small and medium-sized companies and industry. So we are really, really in a deep, deep crisis. The causes, in a way, it started a year ago when prices for energy, mainly gas, got higher because supply and demand didn't match. We were out of the COVID crisis, so demand was rising, but there was not enough supply. Probably it already was the uncertainty about Russian gas and some other parts which were not delivering like they should. And then, as you say, there was the start of the war in February, the invasion of Russia in Ukraine, which made it even really exacerbating all the prices, the security of supply questions we are dealing with. So we have then realized that Russian gas makes out roughly in the beginning of the year 40% of the imports to the EU, and Russia threatened not to deliver. And so we started to prepare for the winter, to look at the prices. And that's when this uncertainty in the market made it that prices skyrocketed. First, gas prices. Gas and electricity prices are linked. So over the summer, then other factors came in. For example, in France, there's less nuclear capacity this summer than usually. There was a particularly dry summer. So hydropower was particularly low in many parts, in the southern parts of Europe, and so on. So it was many reasons put together that, but I would say the geopolitics played the major role that we have seen prices in August, which were unthinkable, unprecedented, mm-hmm. both for oil, gas and coal.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And what has been the EU's response to the crisis? What has the EU done and what has DG Ener done?
Yeah, I think we started already a year ago when the prices started to increase in October with what we call a toolbox. So at the time, we thought it's a temporary price increase. We made a communication to our member states, offering them different means to address that. And that was mainly in the area of social support. So giving, like I think in Belgium, it was done either checks to the vulnerable consumer, we reduced VAT rates, other support, which member states did, and all 27 member states looked at our toolbox and found some means to address it. When then the war started, we reacted as a commission with what we call WePowerEU. Mm-hmm. So a communication and an action plan, which had three main objectives. First of all, and I always start with that, we need to save energy and we need to be more energy efficient. So savings mean every one of us can reduce the heating, can shower less or shorter, better, and other things. That's the short-term behavioral changes. And then there are more structural measures and energy efficiency for industry, for buildings, with insulation, with solar rooftops, and so on. So that was the first objective of WePowerEU. The second one was to diversify away from Russian fossil fuel imports. So replace Russian gas by gas from the US, by gas from Azerbaijan, Norway, Algeria, and other parts. So no Russian gas, and replace it as soon as possible already this year. And we are rather successful. From the beginning, mm-hmm. we had 40% of Russian gas import. Now we have 9%. So, and that is replaced by mainly US and Norwegian gas. And the third element, equally important, is to accelerate our clean energy transition, our European Green Deal, Fit for 55, meaning accelerate renewables deployment, wind, hydro, solar, heat pumps, and all clean technologies, what we have, be faster than we had foreseen. So this WePower package, WePower plan in May this year was a really clear policy message from the Commission to our member states. Then as a second step, the Commission before summer passed messages to have demand reduction in gas. So we really used in DG Energy for the first time ever Article 122, which is an article the Commission can use in an emergency situation. So it only needs the qualified majority by member states, and it can be done very quickly. So we had that on the issue. We proposed an obligatory gas demand reduction of 15% by each member state compared to 5 previous year. The Energy Council in July decided on a voluntary gas demand reduction plan. And out of the 15, we already know that we are roughly at 10% less gas used in our member states than the 5 previous years as average. So that was a clear message. And the second, before summer, message was that we have to fill our storages in gas. Nearly every member state has gas storages, which were particularly empty. And now the objective was 80% by 1st of November, and we are now EU average by 88% gas storage filling. And the gas storage helps us to go through this winter. And mm-hmm. that, I think these two elements, which we prepared before summer, in addition to the whole Repower EU communication, helped on the gas side to save gas and continue to save. It's not overnight that we can do it, and have been better prepared for this winter because the storages are full or nearly full to be ready for this year.
You were mentioning renewables. So as you were saying, it's one of the aims of Repower EU is a massive scaling up and speeding up of renewable energy production. Could we say that this crisis, in a way, could be an opportunity to speed up the development and the deployment of renewable energy? Or could it have, on the contrary, the effect of increasing our CO2 emissions because we fall back on coal because we can't use gas anymore?
I think this is a very good question. So in every crisis, there are opportunities, and it's really, we want to speed up renewables. We have set in REPowerEU also a higher target for 2030. We only last year, in July 21, we proposed 40% renewables by 2030. In REPowerEU this year, we proposed a target of 45%. And we are right now starting the negotiations with European Parliament and Council on that proposal, on that renewables directive, on the target and different measures. It's not alone the target, because we have to speed up permitting, which is a key issue, that it takes too long time to get the project approved. So we are making concrete proposals there. But it's really a good moment to accelerate all kind of renewables, wind, solar, offshore, nuclear for the countries who have nuclear, so the low carbon, in a very, very temporary measure. And as you said, to replace gas, because we want to reduce gas imports from Russia, member states are allowed to switch to coal, temporary. That has an impact on the environment, but we are in contact with our member states. It might be for 1-2 years, but the overall game, 2030 and beyond, is really the acceleration of clean technologies and renewables.
Okay. Are there other emergency measures that are proposed by the Commission now to curb prices and to tackle the crisis?
Yes. So before summer, we had tackled and looked at the gas side. What we experienced over summer, that also electricity prices, which are linked to gas prices, became extremely high. So we proposed in September an emergency measure, again, based on Article 122, emergency, where we proposed three things. We also want electricity demand reduction overall, mm-hmm. in all our member states by 10%. And then what we call peak hours, when electricity, when everyone switches on in the morning, the light and takes the shower, it's a peak hour moment. Mm-hmm. Then there we try, member states try to reduce this amount in these peak hours, which can sometimes giving a bit more flexibility. There are tools now. I don't want to become too technical, but there are tools now, for example, to have the washing machine not running when everyone wants it, but overnight, for example, mm-hmm. that can be digital tools. So to avoid this peak hour is one element of this emergency measure. And the other element is that there are also winners out of these high energy prices, renewables mm-hmm. producers and fossil fuel producers. So we proposed a revenue cap and a solidarity contribution from those industries who are making profit, and member states should collect this money. It could be up to 140 billion a year when in our estimation, and should give it to those who are in need, so vulnerable consumers who can't afford to pay their bill, but also industry who are energy intensive, or small and medium sized companies, even bakers who are really facing extremely mm-hmm. difficult times. So this is the proposal on the electricity emergency, which will be discussed also now in the Energy Council and hopefully be adopted in the next couple of weeks.
Okay. So will it be in the shape of taxes? Will the excess profits be taxed? Or how will be the money taken away from these companies?
It's a very good question. No, it's not a tax. In a way, you could call it tax, but we didn't call it tax for the simple reason it's a 1-2 proposal where we have qualified majority. If it was a pure tax, which is it not, it would have to go through the tax procedure, and that's unanimity in the council, and that would have been in the emergent situation like we are, and it's a temporary measure. We should also underline it's emergency temporary, so 6 month, 8 month, 1 year. So that's why it's a bit different than usual procedure. And the revenue cap for low cost power generation is really because the prices are so high, we say there's a cap of 180 euro per megawatt hour. And if you have your costs for renewables are quite competitive and cheap, maybe at 100 euro per megawatt hour, everything you earn above, because the market is made that you get higher, the highest price in the market, the marginal price, that you have to contribute and give back to the state, and that will be used to give to other consumer. And the solidarity contribution is really the profit, 33% of the profit, which is higher in 2020 compared to the three or four previous years. That money from the profit, which is quite big for some companies, that they have to give. So it's a big measure. It's a one-off, but this money should be given back to the state to to other purposes. It's a bit tricky, but it will go through the council tomorrow if we are lucky. So on the 30th of September.
Okay. So these are emergency measures to respond to today's crisis. Now, if we look at the longer term, so we have different initiatives from the Commission. We have the Green Deal, we have the Fit for 55 program, and we also have the Energy Union, which is one of the long-term initiatives launched by the Commission in the field of energy and climate action. And so this is what our colleagues in DGT will be working on. So what is the Energy Union? I know that it's based on five pillars.
Yes, the Energy Union, I mean, if we are now in an emergency and the crisis, it doesn't mean that the Commission hasn't been working on energy and energy union solidarity, internal energy market for years and decades. So the Energy Union is really the framework of our policy. And as you said, it has five dimensions, which first is security, solidarity and trust. Second, a fully integrated internal energy market, so electricity and gas can flow freely between our 27 EU member states. Third, it's about energy efficiency, which can reduce our dependence on energy imports. Fourth, it's climate action, it's decarbonization of our economy, and including the speeding up of renewables. And five, research, innovation and competitiveness, which is also key. All five are important, and they give the frame of our energy union policy since years, and they are still valid. The European Green Deal was then introduced by this commission, so 2.5 years ago, with some concrete proposals in line with the energy union, but really to speed up and make the Green Deal a priority of this commission.
Okay, so we could say that the energy union is more necessary than ever, as it is shown by this crisis.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Now the reports, the State of the Energy Union reports. So each year the Commission publishes these reports, which take stock of the progress made by EU countries to implement EU's energy and climate policies. Can you tell us about this year's reports? I guess they're quite different from the previous year's reports because the situation is so different. And also there's been COVID. So we went from COVID to this crisis. So what can we expect this year in these reports?
Yes, I think you're absolutely right. It will be different, but still it's part of the Energy Union and the governance regulation, which means that we ask member states to give their national energy and climate plans, and that the Commission every year reports on where we are with our different dimension on the energy union. So this year it will be a rather factual report. So we get all the latest information on where we are, for example, with the 2020 target for both energy efficiency and renewable energy. Because, for example, for renewable, we had national targets. So we are reporting if all the member states have been in line with 2020 targets. EU-wide, we have been in line, just to give you already a flavor, but not every member state is in line. Also based on the State of the Energy Union will be a report on competitiveness. And that, I think, is also in the crisis very relevant because industry is suffering from these high energy prices. So even though we have data from 2021 and 2020, the COVID years, we try to make a qualitative assessment of the crisis in our competitiveness report, which is part of the State of the Energy Union report. We have also more detailed report, not only from DG Energy, for example, from our colleagues in DG Climate, on the functioning of the carbon market, the emission trading scheme, ETS. It's also a part of the State of the Energy Union and also where we are with the climate action and fuel quality. So it's a package. It's slightly different than before in content. We try obviously to adapt it and bring the crisis in, because it doesn't make sense to do it business as usual if we are in the middle of the crisis. Still, I think it's a very useful overview on where we are on the different elements of the State of the Energy Union. I mentioned energy efficiency, renewable competitiveness, but also the climate side from our DigiClimate colleagues.
And would you say that on the whole, EU countries have progressed since last autumn? Is the results on the whole are rather positive?
Yes, I think every country has a different starting block. So some have higher shares of renewables already, but every country is moving in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
So the good news is, even though those who have relatively little renewables, it's progress. Some, I don't say now which one, will not achieve the ambitious target what they have set themselves in 2020, maybe for some reasons, but that we will also clarify. But I think overall, and we have been in close contact with Eurostat, the statistical office, who is helping us a lot, and DG Climate, but also DG Move, the transport colleagues and others, to monitor. So overall, it has been good progress. COVID had an impact. The crisis has been an impact. But energy renewables get cheaper. They are more competitive. And we have to see now how we tackle the prices as such. And that what I mentioned in the beginning when we started to speak about the crisis.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Just to have a look at how it goes behind the scenes, how are these reports elaborated? How does DG Ener assess the member states' progress? How do you gather the data? How does it work?
So we are very much reliant on Eurostat, who is working with the national statistical office from each member state. But we are also looking at other agencies, the Environment Agency data from Copenhagen, GRC, our Joint Research Center colleagues. So we are collecting the data from different sources within the Commission, and we have a very regular exchange with our member states. So the governance includes that we meet at director general level, that we meet at expert level. So we are checking with each of the member states. We have country fact sheets. I think they are part of our package again.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that we try to cross-check with our member states. So we are in line with their data. So it's a lot of preparatory work, but it goes hand in hand with different services within the Commission, but also in a close dialogue with our member states.
Mm-hmm. Now, I see that we're getting towards the end of our interview. As a conclusion, I wanted to ask you, we're all a bit worried about this winter. Will we have shortages? Will the prices keep on rising? What can we wish for our near future? What can we wish for this winter?
Yeah, I think we are really well prepared. Mm-hmm. As I said, the Commission, member states, stakeholders have done a lot to have more gas in the storage, to really have. But we have also to work, all of us, on reducing our consumption, gas and electricity. That can be us as consumers, mm-hmm. households, but also industry. We have two different scenarios. Is it a very, very cold winter? Will it be a mild winter? That plays quite a big role. And also how the actors behave, the different countries, the providers, if they're an accident, a strike, a sudden disruption. So there are different scenarios, but overall for this winter, for the EU, we are well prepared. But the bad news is that probably the prices will maybe calm down a little bit, but at a high level. They won't change overnight. We will face high prices, high energy prices for months to come, if not years to come. So we are looking at this winter, and here I'm rather optimistic that we are well prepared, but nobody knows when there is a major, major, major unforeseen thing which happened in the past as well. And we have to look now, and that's the next step. DG Energy is also working with member states on the winter 23-24. Because if we use all our gas, which is in the storages, we have to see how we fill for next winter, which is 23-24. So we need to remain very, very vigilant in that period. But I hope that all together, and the solidarity is quite key in within the EU, we can manage that with our member states together.
Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you again, Mertil Wersdorfer, so Deputy Director General of DG Enel, for, you know, finding the time to talk to us about all this. And it's been extremely interesting. And, well, the best of luck to all of us then.
Thank you very much, Caroline. And I know it's a lot of work for us, but it's a lot of work also for the translators.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Because there will be more energy-related documents than usual. So I'm sorry for that, but I think it's for a good cause.
Yes,
so
absolutely.
I think it's very good that there is so much behind also to translate and give it a chance that everyone can read it in all languages of the EU, which is obviously very important because we need to reach out also not only to our member states, but also to regions and our consumers and
Absolutely.
Citizens.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you also for all your work in that field.
Thank you very much. And have a nice day.
You too. Bye-bye. See you.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Thank you.
This was Radio Linguistica, DGT's knowledge sharing radio broadcast. Thanks to our listeners. We hope you enjoyed the show. Don't forget to send us your comments, ideas, and suggestions at dgt-radio@ec.europa.eu.